So if you have a Bible, let's go to Galatians 1:4. And I'm going to title this teaching, Thy Kingdom Come. Galatians is right after Corinthians. Galatians 1. Did I say Galatians 4? Galatians 1. That's right. Galatians 1:4. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Stop right there. Jesus is saying, Father, let the will of your kingdom in heaven be manifest into the earth for my followers, for my disciples, and for myself. Let your kingdom in heaven flow down here today. See, that's a daily prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, he said. That's something he would ask regularly. I don't think he meant for us to memorize that prayer and say it exactly. You know what I mean? I think he meant for us to, that's just a prayer template is what it is. A lot of churches, you know, say that prayer together, and I don't know if a lot of people give any mind to what is being said in that prayer. Tonight, we're going to give some mind to what he said. When he said these words, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And the kingdom of God is on earth. It is on earth right now, here, in the middle of us, inside of us. Jesus said, don't say, here it comes, or there it is. He says, no, it's right here in the midst of you. And that means in the middle of you. That means in your core being. That means God is in. If you receive Christ and are born again, and you know Christ as your Savior, that means He lives in you, inside of you. And one man and God on earth are a majority. Amen. He was saying daily we should say, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth here today as it is in heaven. There's no sadness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. And Jesus is saying, Lord, your will be done here. But you know what? Then it's our faith that enforces the fact that heaven's blessings are brought into this earth by our prayers and by our faith. We're the enforcers. We enforce the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is what purchased all these blessings and all the benefits. So, let's say you have a deep addiction to something. You know what? Tonight, thy kingdom come, his will be done towards your addiction. And his will is that you're free. And then whom the Son says free is free indeed. God's will, the Father in heaven, his will is that you're bound by nothing. Nothing binds you. Not even smoking, coffee, alcohol, porn, gambling, shopping. That's an addiction, by the way. Shopping's an addiction. Okay, let's look at Galatians 1, verse 4. I'll read it. Follow with me. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, look at what he says here. The Apostle Paul says that we must be delivered from this present evil age. Now, you know, he was talking about the age then in the Bible. How much more evil is this age than the Apostle Paul's age? How much more evil is our generation right now? You know, anything goes in this generation. You know what? Everybody in this room right now, you're in this room by a divine appointment. I mean, God has you in this room. I didn't do it. I just showed up here. Announced on that speaker. More people didn't come than came. But those of you that came, I believe God drew you in here. In fact, Jesus said about his disciples, he says, you know, I only have those who the Father gave me, and those that the Father didn't give me, I don't have, and I'm not going to get. But just the ones the Father gives me is the ones I'm going to get. And so, yeah, I'd love to have this room packed out, but you know what? We're in an evil age, and there's too much stimulation out there. People are wanting to watch television. They're wanting, and there's nothing wrong with television. People are wanting to, you know, be out there talking their street talk and getting high. Everybody wants to get high. Everyone's having fun getting high. But Jesus is a high.
Amen.
You know, we've had guys in here who said, this is the best high I've ever seen. He says, this is... What did you say at that men's retreat? You said, I've done a lot of hallucinatory drugs.
That's the best
high you ever had. Well, you know what? The Apostle Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
That's right.
That's his alternative. And it's far better. And truly, you can't take wine away from yourself. You have to be filled with the Spirit first to get rid of the wine. It's like that illustration I always give you about light and darkness. Light chases away darkness, but you can't just get darkness to leave and then turn on a light. Everyone see that? When you're trying to walk away from an addiction, you have to first be on fire about something better. And you be more passionate than getting your next score and fix. And, you know, you have to be... You know, my son had this alcohol problem. I took him out to Burger King one night, and I said, you know what? When you want God and Jesus more than you want alcohol, you're going to be free, and alcohol is just going to fall away from you. And like I've told a few people here a few weeks ago, yeah, but... then I'll look a fool, you know. I'll always be talking Jesus, and everyone call me a Jesus freak. And it's like, well, you didn't mind looking a fool and getting drunk and staggering around and, you know, urinating on yourself. I mean, let's call it what it is here. It's far less foolish, and it's much more dignified to be a crazy, on-fire Christian than it is to be hooked on some deep addiction. Where, you know what, people on meth, I mean, they just let their car go, they let their house go, they let their kids go, you know, and it's like there's only one thing they want, and that's to get high. And they don't want, and it's like, okay, wait a minute, stop. There's some priorities of life, and you got your substance here in your priority, and you got nothing else at all. And God doesn't want that. God wants us blessed. God wants us really blessed. He wants us happy. I not only believe that God will take you, get you off of drugs or alcohol, I believe He will restore your cells and give you a better liver for your future. And you can get back on a path and live a longer life than you're probably destined to live right this moment. Everything is decision, you know. And all one little decision tonight can mean 10, 15 years added to your life.
Don't
say it.
I got to go to it because I don't know my heart.
What? I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, it seems like in some churches you go in there and the pastor's preaching and that's all, they got it all backwards, you know. Well, you got cancer? Well, God gave you that to teach you something. It's like, okay, but I thought God said thou shalt not kill, and that cancer's killing that person. You know, God doesn't, first of all, God would have to have cancer to give it to somebody. He doesn't have it. You know, he's free of stuff like that. You know, what God is love. I mean, if an earthly father gave his child on earth cancer, wouldn't they convict him for that and send him away to prison? Huh? So to say God does it, and he's a father, and Jesus said, how much more loving is your heavenly father than your earthly father is? How much greater gifts would your heavenly father give to you than your earthly father gave you? Well, if we use that line of reasoning, then God ought to be on trial here for, you know, if he's killing people. And they call tornadoes acts of God, you know, hurricanes, and they're not. You know, you can read the Bible, and you go to the book of Job, and Satan is hurling lightning bolts and killing things and people. Satan is doing that. Go read the book of Job. Now, okay, let's get it right. God didn't create the elements. God created lightning. God created, you know, the earth the way it works. And tornadoes come ripping through the land because you have highs and low pressures and, you know, temperature changes. But it's like the manipulation of our earth is not the damaging, destructive manipulation of our earth is not from God. It is from Satan, because our earth is under a curse. Our earth has been cursed. And human beings have been cursed so much that Satan is their father. And you have to get born again to get your right father back. You know that? When you get born again, you get the right father back, because as long as a person's not born again, Satan is your adopted father.
Can you explain the difference between being saved and being born again?
It's the same thing.
Is it?
Saved. Well, actually, technically speaking, the word salvation is a bigger word than being born again. Okay? Being born again is when you Christ comes into your heart and regenerates your human spirit from death to life, and now you're alive unto God. Okay? But salvation comes from a Greek word named sozo, called sozo, S-O-U-Z-O. And it means, I have a list, but this is what it means. It means deliverance, which is what addicts need. It means healing. It means salvation. It means the new birth. It means protection from angels and from God. There's a whole list that sozo means. If you find the word salvation in the Bible, it's usually sozo, and it's a huge long list. God comes to save us. But being born again is more specific.
Yes, about this being reborn in salvation. Now, I've heard people talk about that you have to be reborn to have salvation. But, I mean, if you've been wrong with Christ all your life, why do you need to be reborn?
Oh, everybody needs it.
Yeah.
Well, one time or another, if you've been rolling with Christ all your life, you probably got saved at like at 8 years old or 6 years old or something like that. You see what I mean?
Well, so, for instance, some people are you know, their family is Christian orientated, to where they, you know, they go to Bible school, they go to church, and you know, go on from there. So,
well, you see, a kid that looks like he never had this life of sin somewhere, and he grew up into a 50-year-old man that is very blessed, and he knows God, somewhere in his life, God slipped being born again in there on you. And it's so invisible, nobody knows when it happened. See, that you have to be born again. John 3:3, go there. John 3:3. You know, I don't want you to take my word for it. Let's listen to Jesus. Why don't we listen to the general of the church? The captain of hosts. The Alpha and the Omega. I mean, should we have any higher authority that we would go to?
Commander-in-chief.
Is there some guy with a theological degree that we could ask that would know more than Jesus? I hate to say this, there's a lot of guys that go through theological seminary and never get born again. And then they go get a job in a church, and then they run away at their secretary and do great damage to their church. And I've talked to some of these guys, and it's like they don't even know what born again means, because they didn't even teach that in their denomination. And let's look at it, because this is Jesus. Okay, we won't tear this page out of our Bible. All right, we'll leave it in here, and we'll listen to Jesus. He says, "And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now what that means is you will not be aware of it, you will not see it, you will not understand it, and it will mean nothing to you at all. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now this is a very carnal, fleshly view with no spiritual insight whatsoever. And how many people have that? I've heard people say that right back to me. People will say right back to me, what do you mean be born again? I was already born. They're saying just like Nicodemus here. Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So first he said you can't see the kingdom of God, and then he says you can't enter it. You're on the outside of it. Your father is the devil. And until you're born again, your father is not God. And when you receive Christ and you're born again, you have now entered the kingdom of God. And then a lot of believers think, okay, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I will enter the kingdom of God. Not when you're born again, you enter the kingdom of God. When I receive Christ, it says, the Bible says, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And I was instantly moved from one kingdom to another in a flash, faster than snapping my fingers. And that's how you're born again, is that fast. Now, the trouble with born again, the trouble with that believers have is this. You get saved from the neck down. You get born again in your heart, which is here, your human spirit. But your mind still is full of memory, emotions, will, of the world and of your sin. And now your mind has to be retrained to catch up with your human spirit. But the moment you're born again, it says that which is born of God does not sin. I received Christ in 82. And I got to tell you something. My human spirit did not sin since 1982. My human spirit in here, which is not my flesh but my spirit, has not sinned since the day I received Christ. It says that which is born of God does not sin. You're born again of an incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is holy and pure. Christ is holy and pure. He came to live in my heart. Christ inside of me is my hope of glory. And Christ in me does not sin. But the Apostle Paul, he said, I didn't sin, my members sin, my flesh sin, my body and my mind sins, but I don't sin. You see how he has this righteousness identity? Do you see how Paul has this righteousness identity? That the real him is not a big sinner. His members are sinning. You know? What is a member? I mean, your brain, a sex organ is a member. A arm, you know, your hands and your legs are members. Your feet that run to sin, you know. Your brain is a member. Your tongue is a member. And Paul said, my members sin. But he didn't say he sinned. He said, that's my flesh. And it's kind of like he's disassociating his spirit from his flesh, which to me is very smart, because he cannot receive any condemnation from the devil whatsoever.
Is that where Paul's talking about being separated?
That's where Paul says, remember when Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? He says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. That's in Romans. Yeah. But what he says, but it's the members in me and that I possess that sin. But me, my human spirit, does not sin. Now, I took a side trail here, but no, that's all right. I need you to see that when you receive Christ, you enter the kingdom of God on the spot. You are now in the kingdom of God the moment you receive Christ. And the Holy Spirit is now living in you. And yet, there is another experience, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is quite separate of receiving Christ. And that's being filled with the Spirit. And I can prove to you from the Word that those are two separate experiences. One of them happened, Jesus did it for His disciples in John 20. When He said, before He went to heaven, He blew on them and He said, receive you the Holy Spirit, is what He said. And they were instantly born again right there, on John 20. And then what He did, is he says, now, I want you guys to wait in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. But wait a minute, Jesus, you just blew on us and said receive the Holy Spirit. He gave them their fire insurance. He gave them the new birth. He gave them the ability to go to heaven someday and the ability to see and enter the kingdom of God. They enter the kingdom of God there in John 20. This is before he went to heaven. Now, he says, now, I wait in Jerusalem and wait there. And he says, I want you to wait because I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, what is that for? That's for our extended call. See, we're called to know God, be His children, and go to heaven. That's our main calling. But we have an extended calling. Our calling is to be witnesses unto Him, both in Judea and Samaria and all to the uttermost parts of the earth, to Sacramento, California. You know, that's our calling, is to be witnesses to Him. And He says, but you wait, and wait there in Jerusalem. I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. I want this for all of you. I don't want you to just be born again. I want all of you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do that tonight. But I've done it with some, and usually the baptism of the Holy Spirit has an evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, you might have a lot of preconceived notions about that, but I tell you what, most people's preconceived notions, none of them are true. Okay? Because there's a lot of teaching in the Word about it. And Paul said, I wish that all of you would do this because I do it more than you all. Paul said that. He wasn't excluding anybody when he said that. Now, we'll come back to that another night because it's very interesting. Let's go on here because I need you to see some things about Mark 1. Mark. By the way, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to give you the power to be His witness. By the way, your final knockout punch to Satan will come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your fighting of addiction. That's the final knockout punch. Because there's such power that flows out of your human spirit with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, God said, this is that refreshing. This is the refreshing. And Jesus talked about it. He says, he that comes to me and drinks will never thirst. He says, but this he spoke about the Holy Spirit. This is parentheses now in John 7. This he spoke about the Holy Spirit who had not yet been given. Everybody see that? The Holy Spirit wasn't given in full measure until the book of Acts chapter 1. But Jesus, let's talk about that for a second. Go to Mark 1. Let's talk about that for a second. Jesus says, he that comes to me and thirsts. I had a men's retreat a few weeks ago, and a few of these guys were there, and you can tell them if I'm fibbing or not. I stood up towards one of the final sessions, and I had this really sullen look on my face. And I said, I got a confession to make. I said, I've been drinking today. And I tried to not make eye contact. I tried to give them every symbol, every little sign that I was, you know, I had fallen, you know. Yeah, in fact, I've been drinking ever since this retreat started. In fact, I was drinking in my bunk last night. In fact, I was drinking in the shower. And then I said, turn to this verse right now. And they turn there. And Jesus is saying, you know, let him come to me and drink. And I'll give him, you know, everlasting life and water. And the whole, you know what? God's whole intent was that we would drink of Jesus so much every day that we would get drunk every day and live under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
I feel the anointing right now. Sorry.
Well, don't fall out of that chair. Okay, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, flow through these men and women. Flow right now. And just make them drunk, oh God. And there, with drunkenness comes. See, I feel like tipping over backwards right now. Yeah. And the thing is We need to... They receive Christ, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the people observed them. They were staggering around, and they said, look, it's 9 a.m. in the morning, and they're drunk. And they're going, and Peter stands up and says, no, they're not drunk. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, and this is the Holy Spirit which was promised. It's 9 a.m. in the morning. They haven't been drinking. And then the Apostle Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? The Bible says Jesus had more joy than all his fellows. He was the biggest laugher of all of them. He was probably a prankster. I mean, he's probably a joke teller. Jesus had more joy than all his fellows. And when you see people with joy, they're laughing all the time. You know why Jesus would have been in a good mood? Because God the Father's in a good mood. God the Father is in a good mood. God has showed up here tonight. Some of you came here tonight to hear God's Word. And He showed up, and He's in a good mood. And there's nothing you've done that He doesn't say, oh, no problem, let's brush you off, fix you up, get you back out, and get you clean, and get you dry. God is in a good mood. And that's why you can hear sometimes some people hear God laughing from heaven when they pray, because He laughs all the time. I mean, listen, they say about little babies. I have a new baby grandson named Joshua. He's 2 days old. I was looking at him today. I held him today. And I thought, Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know what? They're pure. They're guileless. I told my daughter, I said, you know, they're super intelligent. They are super intelligent inside, these little ones. We train them to be stupid. You know, they lose it. But they can't communicate, so they can't tell you how intelligent they are. But look at, he's staring at me. He's looking right through me. He's saying, who's this joker? And it's like, but by the time they can communicate, somehow they've lost it. I believe babies are super intelligent. I know they're righteous. You know what? Babies are not dead spiritually. Jesus said, for such is the kingdom of God. They're not dead spiritually. Babies are not dead spiritually. They're alive unto God. It's when we get old enough to sin and we start sinning that we die, and then we must be made alive. Do you see that? In other words, what happened to Adam and Eve happens to babies. They died spiritually, then they have to be born again later when they're old enough to understand what's going on. And God holds them accountable when they first understand right and wrong, and then they kind of die spiritually. So if you think about it, when Adam was still alive, Adam had the job of naming all the animals on the planet. And that's what he did. He had a brilliant mind. And all the animals have names that fit what they are and do. And Adam thought all those up. And so that was Adam. Well, that's what babies are like to me. And so you have a little baby. All right, I'm going to stop right there. I keep hitting side trips. Mark 1:15. I'll read 14 and 15. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel means good news. And it says Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, how many times do you hear, you know what the kingdom of God is? It's a now present thing. You said you're feeling the anointing, you're feeling drunk, okay? The gospel is a now present thing. It's like the power of God is here to heal you and deliver you right now. The gospel is not some head trip about blah, 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 blah. The gospel, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he said, who has a need? Who's ill? Who's sick? Who's dying? Who has a demon? I want to help you now. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that's why Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul was very wordy when he wrote, but when the Apostle Paul stood up to speak, he just demonstrated the power of God. Do you hear that? When he stood up to speak, he demonstrated signs and wonders. And he did more of that than he did preaching. And that was what he believed in doing. And that's what our template is, Jesus and Paul. Jesus says, Jesus preached, repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel is good news. There's no bad news in the gospel. I get these emails every day from Christians, and they're ragging on the world, they're ragging on the president, they're ragging on BP, and it's like, wait a minute. You guys are so caught up in bad news that that's your whole life. And I'm doing some business with a guy, and he doesn't want to join me because he's reading all these negative emails, and he has no positive view on life now. And it's like, I said, hey, where's the old, his name's Mike. I said, where's the old Mike that I used to know? You have so entered into all of this negative junk. You know, it's like, okay, God brought down the trade towers. You know, this is what the believers say. That's junk. It's like, God's judging our country. America is hopeless. All business is going down the tubes. We're all going to be rioting and fighting for the same scrap of bread, you know. And it's like, well, wait, that's not what the Bible says to me. The Bible says, God promised Noah. He said, seed time and harvest will not pass away again, ever. And it doesn't mean we all have to become farmers. When I'm out doing business, that's seed time and harvest. God is factored into this thing, okay? Because you know why? You know why God is here? Because Christians are here and He's in us. And as long as Christians are here, evil is restrained. And the worst case scenario is never going to happen. A couple movies come out, and then the whole belief system of society is that, well, eventually we're going to be hit by an asteroid and blotted out of existence. It's like, wait a minute. There's Christians praying, and God is keeping all those things on their courses because He loves believers, He loves people, He loves all mankind. He has His purposes, and He's not a dummy. He didn't make the earth only to get collided with an asteroid. You know, and now there's an email out saying the oil now is going to get so bad it's going to mix with the chemicals they're treating them with, and it's going to kill everybody in America because it's going to be blown over by a hurricane. And it's like, wait a minute, aren't you the same guy that was saying, you know, that this was going to happen? And you know, it's like we have to watch out. Dave DeWell says when he gets bad news, he round files it. That means the trash can. He says, if it's good news, I'll read it. If it's bad news, I don't read it. Because I know the God I serve, and He's a good God, and He's in a good mood. And if we're going to exchange information of things that are going on negative, let's at least just get together so we can pray about these things. And let's start a prayer chain to stop the oil leak. You know? Let's do that. Let's get God involved in the oil leak. Instead of blaming everybody and hating everybody. Everybody, let's go to John 17. Hey, it's nice and cool in here, isn't it? Who wants to read it?
I will.
Go ahead. 13 through 18.
Well, mine is today's English version. It's a little different. So 13 through 18. And now I am coming to you, and I say these things in the world, so that they might have my joy in their hearts in all its fullness. I gave them your message, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Do not ask you to take them out of the world, but I do ask you to keep them safe from the evil one. just as I do not belong to the world, they do not belong to the world. Dedicate them to yourself by means of the truth. Your word is truth. I sent them into the world just as you sent me into the world.
Okay. Notice that Jesus is talking about the word, and he says the word is truth. We are sanctified by the word of God, and the word is truth. That's what we're doing here tonight, is we're getting the truth. And we're not, in verse 14, he says, we're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Look at verse 13. He says, these things I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy in themselves. Did you know that that was the whole deal? That was the whole deal from God, is our joy, for us to have joy. That was God's whole thing, was to give us joy. Can you see Him and the Father having a little conference going, now I'm going to come back to heaven, and I got these 12, and there are some others too, and I don't know if they can handle the job. It's like they look like a savory bunch. I've tried everything I could, and they still denied me. They still betrayed me. They all scattered on my crucifixion. Not one stood with me. It's like, what are we going to do, Father? And it's like they talked about it, and then they said, we know what we'll do. We'll make them drunk. We'll fill them with joy. They'll stagger around. They'll live under the influence. I mean, these guys, you know, all these apostles, disciples, did you know most, all of them but one martyr was put to death? And did you know they didn't mind that a bit? Did you know that the Apostle Paul got warned by a prophet? He had the apostle come up in front of a group of people. He says, put your hands like this. This is far along in Paul's ministry. And he took the sash from around his waist. He tied it on his hands. And he says, if you go on this next trip, this is what's going to be done to you. And the Apostle Paul said, I don't care. I'm going. And sure enough, he was arrested. He was sent to Rome. Paul was eager to go to Rome to preach to Caesar. And eventually, there, he was put to death. Historical Christianity says that he was beheaded in Rome, the Apostle Paul. And you know what? He loved it. He was probably so drunk that day. It's like, huh. I'm going to heaven today. The guy with the axe is going to send me to heaven. He's going to pay my ticket. But then the believers are then they start getting the believers start getting persecuted. They start getting burned at the stake in Colosseums. They start getting fed to lions. There's an old story from traditional Christianity where when they were put on stakes and they were burned for the crowds to watch. And there's one movie, it was called, I forget the movie, an Easter movie, where they're all singing as they burn. And they're singing because they're drunk on God. It's like Jesus and the Father are talking, hey, they're going to go through a lot. Yeah, but that's all right, they'll be high. And, you know, now I'm bringing in my own paraphrasing, okay? And I hope you don't think that's disrespectful. But you need to, it gives you the picture of what really transpired. And someone said, they're in this dungeon and they're talking. And they say, yeah, I have to go out and burn now. And the ones back here say, well, we're a little concerned about that. It seems like it hurts. If you're feeling okay when you burn, would you give us a hand signal? Would you put up a victory sign? And sure enough, they're all watching, and they're watching this guy out here, and he's going to burn. He's a Christian. And he's going like this the whole while. He's going like this. Because you know what? The grace of God is on him and blessing him. And he's leaving this earth in bravery and in honor and in service to God because he's dying for his Christian faith. And you know what? Here's my bottle of alcohol. And I can't even take it for half a day. These guys are out there giving their lives for Christ. Dying. I heard an email about it today in Uganda. People getting blown up, missionaries getting blown up, blown to bits, their whole families. And we're going, it's been 3 hours, you know? You know what? No pain, no gain. I mean, we need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and go follow Christ. You know what? This generation doesn't know much about suffering. You know? I fast. I'm a faster. Okay? I fast food. I fast things. I deny myself things. I get better when I do it.
Very
good. You see? And, you know, there's an old saying about martyrdom and Christianity. Everyone know what martyrdom is? Yeah. There's this whole group of martyrs in heaven that are with God. It describes them in Revelation. They have these white robes. And it specifically says these are ones that were beheaded by the Antichrist in the end times. These ones right here. And they're right with God. And He's loving them. But you know, there's an old saying about in Christianity, the blood of the martyrs is the mortar of the bricks to the church of Jesus Christ. And we need a little bit more blood and mortar, you know? And I'm not telling you, I'm not saying go out and give up your life for God. How about you give up your life alive? Huh? If you have brothers around the world giving up their life to death for God, why don't you give up your life? I had this couple once, and they were fighting all the time, and I was trying to counsel them. And they were just like at each other's throats all the time. And he was being stubborn. He wouldn't do this for her. He wouldn't do that for her. So it's like God gave me this point of wisdom. And he said, and I got, this just dropped into my mind. So I said, hey, if a knife-wielding, crazed guy broke into your house in the middle of the night and he was going after your wife, would you step between her and that knife? And he goes, of course I would. I love her. I said, so let's get this straight. You'd die for her, right? He goes, oh yeah, in a second, I'd die for my wife. And it's like, then why don't you live for her? Why don't you die to your own selfish wants and become alive unto her needs? If you do the one, it seems like it'd be easier for you to do the other. You know, if you would go die and take that knife, wouldn't it be a lot easier to just give up your TV show, to go do something she wants to do, to respect her a little bit, to hold your tongue and not belittle her? I mean, and it's like, oh, you're right, that's a no-brainer. That's a life-changing thought. Well, this is all God wants. God doesn't want us to go martyr. Some of us might, all right? It might be God's will that one of us in here martyr someday. And I would. I've come to that a long time ago, that I would. But He doesn't really want us to martyr. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us... The Apostle Paul said, I take the marks of the Lord Jesus in my body, and I die daily. He says, I beat my flesh. I buffet my body. That means hit and beat my body. So that... You know, I preach so that I'm not preaching to others over here and then coming over here and being a castaway myself from the faith and failing because I'm eating too much, drinking too much, getting high, smoking pot, you know. And the thing is God wants us to not deny ourselves. But you know what? Every time you put... So what the Apostle Paul says is, put yourself on God's cross daily with Him. But you know what comes when you put yourself on the cross? Guess what comes the moment you put yourself on the cross? No, something follows the cross. Yes, but there's an actually specific act that follows the cross. No. Resurrection. When you put yourself on the cross, the Holy Spirit flows to you and you stand up free, blessed, ready for your next feat in God to conquer self, addictions, death, disease. We're supposed to have victory over all that stuff.
So the revelation I just had right now was if we cast things away from us and deny ourselves, essentially we use drugs and alcohol because we're fearful. We start to live for others, and that would be loving others. Perfect love casts out fear. So not only by us denying ourselves, denying our flesh, we're casting out fear at the same time and building love. It's like, why wouldn't we want to do that? Just a thought.
That's good. See, only the Holy Spirit pieces that together like that for you. You know? And he's talking to you while I'm teaching. So thank you for not listening. No. That's my greatest desire, that God's given you between the blanks what I'm saying, his own stuff. That's what we need happening here. You need to be having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I believe me, he's talking to all of you right now. And you know what? Some people say, well, I can't hear God talk. But you know what? He's got a frequency. You just got to tune it in a little bit more fine. Then there's a lady who says, Pastor, pray for me. The devil says I can't hear God. And it's like, quit listening to the devil. You might hear God. How do you know the devil's talking? Well, I hear this voice in my head. Well, you know, let's start listening to a different frequency. And did everybody catch what I was saying about living for God? The weightlifter says no pain, no gain. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, a man that examines himself will not be judged with the world. If you will examine yourself and kill some of those fleshly practices you have, then the world will not judge you harshly. Another man says, he that's hard on himself, the world won't be hard on him. Well, what do you need to do? Well, deny some of that fleshly activity. You know, there's only one way to quit alcohol, and that's say, I'm done now, and I'll never touch it again. I won't play with it. I won't sample it. I won't sip it. I won't taste one drop. I'm done now. I will never touch it again. It's out of my life forever. Before I touch it again, I'll cut this hand off. That's the only way to get free, is to never touch it again. Same with drugs. Marijuana. And you know what? God doesn't want us on marijuana. I don't care if they legalize it. It's bad stuff. It is to destroy your priorities. It is to destroy your love of God. I see a lot of people on marijuana that can't come in here. It's like, why not? Why not? Why don't you come in here? I'm not condemning you. But they're afraid to get around God while they're using it. You know? So it's like, I'm just saying, the best way is cold turkey to get rid of anything in your life. And if you starve it enough days, it will die. It will die of starvation, and it will be out of you. But I'm telling you, you can't starve it in here in detox. You have to starve it out there when you're having opportunities. Because this is a plastic bubble in here. This doesn't count in here. I hate to tell you guys that. I see guys in here that are in here like 6 months. Oh, I've been dry 6 months. Well, where have you been? I've been in here. It's like, well, you can't have it in here. So we haven't tested you yet. So you're kind of back to day one the moment you walk out the door. Everybody see that? That's why they give you a sponsor in AA, and that's why you got someone to talk to. But what I'm telling you is, if you're on fire for God, if you love God, if...
Don't fall over, Greg.
That's right. If you're on fire for God... See, I try to give as much as a support system as I can to you. These are some of the things I'm doing. I'm recording these sessions. This is being recorded right now. I'm putting these on CDs, okay? But unfortunately, we only have so many CDs, and they take a long time to duplicate. But when we get them duplicated, then we run out, and then I can only bring the ones I have. So if some of you guys want to help me buy CDs, I could pass them out in here.
Matt, I'm a big part of Celebration Church in Methodist by Auburn, and I
All right. Then I have books. I have books on addiction that I'm writing. And so we got those kind of waiting at a printer for money to print them. Okay. Now, the thing is we do about two Bible studies a week in here. I'm doing one now at Martin Luther King Village on Friday nights. And you guys are welcome if you can get over there to come to that. It's at 47th and Martin Luther King Boulevard. And we do that at 7 o'clock Friday night. And I just, God opened the door there, and we just walked through the door. Adam and I were there, and Ken was there. Anyone else in here was there? Well, anyway, we had a small, intimate group, but it's just the beginning. And then I put these teachings on the internet. The little device in here, I download it on the computer. It goes on the internet. And then people from anywhere can come on, go to my website, access these teachings. Bill is in Texas, and he can access, go to the library and access these teachings. He's doing good, by the way. Yeah. And so we try to be supportive as possible. I hand out flyers and things. But what I'm saying to you is you need to get with God and get in a church. You need to have a local pastor. You need to receive Christ if you never did. And you need to be studying the Word. And we're just dishing this out as fast as we can dish it out. And it's all good news. It's all good news what we're sharing. I don't get into the Old Testament law very much. Because to be honest with you, the New Testament replaced the Old Testament law. Yeah, the law is still there. The Old Testament is still there to study and to get understanding and revelation from God. But it's still the Word of God. But what I'm telling you is you can't base your life on it and your doctrines on it. That's what the Jews are currently doing. And it doesn't work because there's no new birth in the law. And the truth is, there is... To the believer in Christ, there is no law. The law is gone. You know, I hate to tell you this, but if you take drinks or drugs or whatever you do, and you go, God's mad at me now, I got news for you. There's no law against that. You're getting condemned for something there's no law against. But what I'm telling you is you have to reap what you sow. And God will not be mocked. As a man sows, that will he also reap. And if it's killing you, then you're going to reap that. And God can't change that for you. Does everybody see that? But there is no law to, like, if someone says to me, Greg, don't kill Adam. It's like, well, I like Adam. That never enters my thought. How does that law apply to me? Well, when we love God and we love our fellow man, then, which is what Jesus commanded us, we have the ability to love in our hearts. And we now have the freedom to be who we are in Christ from the day we're born again. It's there in our hearts. As we study and learn about the love of God, then what happens is we have the ability to love unconditionally. With God's kind of love, and we love ourselves too much to treat our bodies bad. Does everybody see that? I only got halfway through all the scriptures, so guess what we're going to study a week from now on Wednesday night is the kingdom of God. And it just keeps, by the way, as we study this, it just keeps getting better as you study the kingdom of God. It's a now thing. It's here now. The kingdom of God is here in this room now. And Lord, I pray for these here. And I ask that you minister life in every circumstance of their life right now and restore them. And Lord, help them to make strong decisions for you and to actually die for you tonight, but to only die to self and to die to the flesh, not literally die. And then they might live because they might be resurrected in your power on the same day they die to you. That is the whole will of God right there. That people die to self, they die to the flesh, and they are resurrected instantly off of that cross into new life and blessing. So everybody, I want everybody to say these words with me. And even if you got born again once, say them anyway, please, because you're helping the people that may not have got born again. So follow me here. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose again. Forgive my sin. Wash me in your precious blood. Fill me with your Spirit. I purpose tonight to live for you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.